Wasn't that awesome? Let's give him a hand. And not only that, but we have people that lead us in worship too, and that those songs were perfect today, and I just thank you guys all for leading us to the throne together. This is great. So before I get started here, let's have a word of prayer. Got a little other music here, Father, and we thank you for that. We thank you for this neighborhood. We thank you for who you are and how you've made everybody and love every single person out there. And I pray right now as we look at your word together that you would speak through me, you would speak exactly what you want to speak by your Spirit, and that you would change us, help us to be more like Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, I got all dolled up today. Pastor Joe, he said I could wear shorts and flip-flops today, but he said if I did that, I have to wear a tie. So I'm dressed like this because I don't want to wear a tie. Does anybody notice anything different about me? Or not really? Those of you guys that know me, I see somebody. Yeah, I don't have my glasses on, right? And there's a good reason for that, because I am basically almost blind without my glasses. So if anyone wants to test me, I can't really even, that's how bad it is. I can't even really see your faces, especially if you're near the back. And if I don't see you guys, I don't know if you're paying attention, if you're falling asleep or whatever's going on. But the important thing is I can't see the clock to see how long it is. So I'm supposed to have like 30 to 40 minutes, but I better put my glasses on so it's not like an hour or something. So there we go. Okay. But literally, I can barely see the hands on there. And the big E is blurry on my left eye, and I can't even see the hands out of my left eye. But now I can see it is 11:35. So that's what time it is, if anybody wants to know. But just think about that. I have a public service announcement. You guys remember those back in the day? But public service announcement, go get your eyes checked, because they change all the time, right? And we need to see, and if we don't see correctly, it's going to affect the way that we live. Like, for instance, if I went out and drove home without my glasses on, what's going to happen? There's definitely going to be an accident. I may see something in the road. Anybody ever see any potholes in Cleveland? I may miss one of those and totally bust my rim or my tire or something like that. So get your sight checked. Get your vision checked. When's the last time that you've had your vision checked? My mom gets to hear me this morning. That's pretty cool. She's here with us all the way from down Akron, Doylestown, if you ever heard of Doylestown. But she just got her eyes checked this week, and they changed. So your eyes are always changing. So make sure you get your vision checked. So that's all I was going to talk. No, I'm just kidding. I need a drink. But if you get your physical vision tested, today I want to talk about something different and more important: to get your spiritual vision tested. When is the last time that you've got your spiritual vision tested? Because when I don't have my glasses and I don't see correctly, it affects the way I live, right? But if I don't see correctly spiritually, and I don't have those spiritual glasses, if you will, on, it's going to affect the way that I live as well. And we're going to look at a passage today. So if you'd like to turn on me with your Bibles, take a look at Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 35, 38. If you don't have one and you have a bulletin, you can just follow along with me there. What's the standard of vision? When you go to the eye doctor, you squint up there, read the lowest line. And if you can read that lowest line, you know you're 20/20. Mine's about 2800 in my left eye, believe it or not. So, what's the standard for vision when we look at spiritual vision? We need to see people the way that Jesus sees them. So I'm talking about our vision today. Our vision is, how do we see people? How do we see the people around us? How do we see ourselves? How do we see our neighbors, our coworkers? The eye test is, if you're seeing 20/20, that means that you see people the way that Jesus does. So my challenge for you today is this: see people how Jesus sees them. then respond the same way he did. Because remember, the way we see affects the way that we live. The way Jesus saw people affected the way that he lived. So we want to take a look at how Jesus sees people and then do the things that he did. Respond the way that he did when he sees people. And I love this passage, and let's take a look at it because we get to see the heart of Jesus in this. So I'll read through this with you, and we'll stop when we get to see what Jesus' vision is like, okay? Starting at verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, I'm going to stop there, okay? I'm going to think about how Jesus sees people. Put yourself in your shoes. You got something to offer. You got something actually really, really good to offer people. And what's going to happen? A bunch of needy people are going to come around and want something. And Jesus, if you look at his ministry, he was going around, and everywhere he went, there was a crowd. At one point, somebody said, look, the whole earth is going after him. But Jesus saw these people, and they were like, they wanted stuff. And they needed stuff, and they were saying, please help me. And they were crowding around him. Sometimes his even disciples said, Lord, why don't you just get away? And then he would get away to a lonely place, and guess what would happen? People would find him. And if I were Jesus, I think, I don't know if any of you seen the movie What About Bob? That's a good movie, right? So if you haven't seen the movie What About Bob, it's a psychiatrist played by Richard Dreyfuss, and his patient is played by Bill Murray, and it's hilarious. And Bill Murray tracks Richard Dreyfuss down on vacation, like through deception and everything. And finally, Bill Murray's like, I want. And he's like, Bob, I'm on vacation. Talk to somebody. And it's like that, right? He gets frustrated. Sometimes I think I was with Jesus and he just kept seeing people and pushing him. Like, he's going to get mad like that. He's like, I need my time. Let's take a look at that again. When he saw the crowds, he pushed them away, right? No, it doesn't say that. He had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. And I want to talk about that word a little bit. That word contains something that is the word for, like, your guts. Like, you ever do that? Whenever you see somebody that's really, really hurting, you actually physically feel it. Like, sometimes I get a little clench in the bottom of my throat. Does anybody ever feel that? Or you ever get like a little pit in your stomach because you're so moved and you're so upset about what's going on with people? That's what Jesus did after tons, and this is what he's saying. He was going around seeing tons of people, and he still saw people, and he felt, he actually physically felt it. He actually physically cares. He doesn't push away. And why is that? Why is that? And Matthew tells us here. Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So what I want to say here for the first point is see people how Jesus sees them. What he sees is that people need Jesus. People need him. And he sees that. He doesn't see the annoyance. He doesn't see other things. He sees their need. And I want to challenge you to do that too. See people's needs. And I want to talk about these words a little bit. It says, because they were harassed and helpless. Harassed is a word, I like to picture it like this. Harassed is being squeezed, okay? Think about being squeezed like one of the, I don't know, like a stress ball or something like that. You just squeeze it. This is people that were feeling stress from one area of their life. Maybe they couldn't make ends meet. Maybe they have something going on physically with somebody in their family or with themselves, and they're just feeling the pressure. They're feeling the strain. They're feeling the squeeze. Maybe they just had some bad luck in their life, and they're down and out, and they're just feeling that squeeze, and it just tightens you. maybe they did some dumb sin back in the day, and they're still paying the consequences for it, and they just feeling that pressure. That's what that word means, okay? Harassed. We're going to talk about this a lot today. Harassed and helpless, all right? When I do this, helpless, what that word is talking about is basically laying down, giving up. I don't know if you've ever been there, but you feel so much pressure, so much squeeze that you just can't get up. That you don't know what to do. So what do? Is you sit down. It's a picture. I see some Indians fans out there, so I'll take you back to, I think it was 2 years ago. Sorry, we got Pirates fans too, but that's all right. We'll live with that. But take you back to when Michael Brantley injured his ankle. Did anybody watch that on TV like a couple years ago? I don't remember exactly what it was, but he was going after a ball, and he hurt his ankle, and then he tried to get up, and then he just sat down, and it was like, and he called them out. Like, he couldn't get up. He was in too much pain. He couldn't get up. Sometimes that's people. They've been squeezed and hit and knocked down again and again and again, and they just don't feel like getting up, right? That's helpless. Harassed and helpless. Squeezed and laying down. Just, I give up. But Jesus says, they're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That's what this is all about. Is Jesus doesn't look at us and say, yeah, you got to figure this out on your own. Get up. He looks at people that are harassed and helpless and says, I want to help. I love those. Savior like a shepherd, lead us. And different songs like that. Jesus is powerful enough. He can help us to our feet and help us walk on through. He wants to be that shepherd for us. He wants to say, come on, get up. Let's go together. We got this thing together. Let me walk with you. Let me lead you. And we'll make sense of this. We'll make sense of this life together. And that's what he's offering today. So my challenge, once again, see people how Jesus sees them. See that everybody, that people need Jesus. But the first place we got to look at is in the mirror, all right? We take a look in the mirror. I don't know if you've ever been like that. If you've ever been harassed and helpless, it's like, oh, I'm just hurting so bad. I just don't want to get up. I've been there. I can tell you, I suffer from depression. My wife, Candy, can tell you how much I've slept when I was sad or just couldn't get up. See yourself how Jesus sees you, because this is how I used to see myself. I used to look at myself and say, yeah, Jesus loves everybody, that's right, but does he really want to hear from me again? Here you are, Mark, again. You need my help again? What are you doing? Does anybody ever think Jesus is like that? Deep down, I really thought that. There was days where I really thought, like, okay, I've got plenty of people to help, Mark, but all right, fine. And did you just get to a point where you're like, I don't want to bother Jesus anymore, right? Has anybody ever been there? It's not true. He feels it to this day in his guts and cares about you. There's another Jesus that gets misrepresented too. Say you're harassed and helpless because of all these bad decisions that you made in your life, and you can just put a chain. Some of us think Jesus is up there saying, see, if you would have only followed my word, you'd be okay right now, but you didn't, right? Does anybody else think Jesus is like that? And we're just kind of scared to go, like, I know you're a holy God, I know you're perfect, and I'm not, so I'm scared of you, so I'm just going to stay away. I'm just going to stay away. That's not true, right? He knows everything about us. He knows what's going on with us. He knows all those decisions that we made, even before we made them, believe it or not. And he looks at us in our current state, and he feels it for us. He says, I love you. Maybe he even says, look at, you've been trying so hard on your own, and look where you're at. And he says, let's do this together. That's what it's all about. That's what Christianity is all about. is walking with Jesus together with him in community too. So that's what Jesus wants you to do. But if you look at Jesus like, I don't want to bother him, he wants to be bothered. He wants, and I don't even say bothered, he wants you to come to him. Sometimes we may say, I got this. I don't want to be weak. But he wants you to come to him and live with him and follow him. And sometimes he says, sometimes you might say, well, I've actually heard somebody say, your God doesn't love me. I'm too bad of a person. You don't know what I've done. Anybody been there before? God doesn't. Think about this. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, anybody know the rest? Christ died for us. He died because of those sins. He died because he wanted to be with you. He died because he wanted that relationship with you. So just reach up your hand and walk with him. That's a little bit scary, right? To think about a shepherd like that, to say, and we were talking about this morning. Bob taught a great Sunday school. It takes faith to say, Jesus, I'm sitting down here. I've got nowhere to go. I'm confused. I'm hurting. Can you please just take over my life? That's what faith is. Faith is saying that I don't have this. I'm in over my head. I'm scared, and I need somebody to guide me. I need somebody to show me the way. I need somebody to give me the power. Jesus, will that be you? Will you do that for me? And the faith is saying, okay, I'm going to follow you. And the faith is also saying, that means I'm going to give up some of my control here. That means I'm going to maybe have to make some decisions that I don't want to make. It's a little scary. But let me encourage you, if you're not following Jesus right now, he made you exactly how you are. He knows you better than you know yourself. How many hairs do you have on your head? Anybody know? Well, Jesus has those numbered. He knows you inside and out. He made you for a purpose. Follow him. It may be a scary road. You may not have control, but follow him. And you know where that road ends is to be with him forever. So it may be a little scary and it may be a little bit challenging, but you got a companion. The creator of the universe is a companion, and you get to go home with him in the end. So if you're afraid to face him, tell him, Jesus, I want to follow you. Will you save me? I can't do it. I don't know how to live my life. Please guide me. Show me where you want me to live. After you're done looking in the mirror, when you go out today, I don't know if you're going to go out to eat or what you're going to do, look at the restaurant around you. You think there's anybody harassed and helpless? When you get home, look around at your neighbors. Is there anybody that's harassed and helpless? When you get to work on Tuesday, anybody get to be off tomorrow? Isn't that nice? Look around, see if anybody's harassed and helpless. When you go to school, some of these kids don't even have to go back to school for a while. When you get back to school, you see anybody that's harassed and helpless. How do you see those people? They're people that need Jesus. So we see him, we see ourselves. What do we do now? This is a great peek into when we see Jesus as a human being, all right? He's very limited right here because he's in the human flesh, and he looks out and he just sees tons of people, and you know he's limited by his humanity. He can't go and help every single one of these people. So this is what he says in verse 37. Right? No, wait. Yeah, verse 37. I actually cut off part of that in mind, so I'm glad. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So when we start to see ourselves as harassed and helpless and then start looking around, we're going to say, wow, there's a lot of people that need Jesus out there. There's a lot of people that need a savior, that need a shepherd, that's going to guide them through life. And you may get overwhelmed. Well, our response is we need to respond by praying how Jesus prayed. Think about that. And I even look at that map over there of all those places and all those faces around their missionaries that are all throughout the world. And that's what Jesus said. He said, the harvest is plentiful. What he's saying is there's lots of people that will be willing to follow me if they are convinced that they need it and that I'm kind enough and loving enough to be their shepherd. The problem is there's not enough workers to go tell them. So ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out more workers or to send out workers into his harvest field. What that's saying is, I like that word for send out. I like to picture it as a ball, because that's what it's talking about. It's throwing away, throwing out. So he's like, okay, there's Africa. I'm going to send out some workers there. There's Southeast Asia. There's the Middle East. There's your office. There's your school. There's your neighborhood. Did you ever think about that? Is it by coincidence that you work where you work? Is it coincidence? And we just bought a new house. It's so cool. And Judy helped us find a great house, and we're so thankful for her. And we looked at, I don't know how many houses we looked at, and God gave us the right one. Why did he put us right there? Why did he put you right there on the block that you're in the neighborhood you're in, maybe the hallway that you're in? Why did he do that? Think about that. He's throwing you out there, casting out a worker into a neighborhood. Why do you work where you work? Is he casting out a worker into his harvest field? Think about that. When you go on the job, there's people that are harassed and helpless. They just may look different. And this is something I said too, or I was thinking about too, is it's not just needy and the poorest of the poor that are harassed and helpless. It's people with lots of money. It's people that are at the top end of society that feel harassed and helpless. Yeah, right, Mark. Well, why? You ever hear the 27 syndrome for musicians? So many musicians have killed themselves at 27 years old at the top of their game. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, right? So respond by praying the way Jesus did. Pray for more workers. And we pray for more workers all the time. But are you that worker? When Jesus prayed this prayer 2,000 or whatever years ago that he prayed it, are you the answer to that prayer? Are you the answer to the block that you live on or the office? Did you ever think about that? You may be exactly where Jesus puts you to draw people to himself. You may be the answer of a 2,000-year-old prayer, and you didn't even realize it. Is that kind of exciting, or is that kind of exciting? Is it a little scary? A little scary, right? So what do we do? What do we do? Now that we realize, I'm looking around, I see hurting people, and I very well may be the answer to Jesus' prayer. What should I do now? Well, let me say, respond by doing the things that Jesus did. Let's go back up to Matthew 9, verse 35, the very first verse. I'm going to say, do the very same kind of things, all right? Let's think about this. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, so he went places, and he did three things: teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. All right? Before we're going to get there, but I'm going to challenge you. When you're sent out, wherever you're at, try doing these three things. And it's talking about three different groups of people right here, okay? Teaching in their synagogues. These are people that are already searching. So you're going to see people that have all kinds of questions about Jesus and why do you believe this or why do you believe whatever. Teach them stuff. Do you have anybody that comes up and asks you at work, or do you have a neighbor that just wants to talk about it, teach them some things about Jesus. Just teach them what you know. It doesn't have to be elaborate or whatever. Just tell them. Tell them like you're introducing a friend. Of course, we learn about our friend from Scripture, right? So we got to teach them Scripture. Here's where I got to talk about my mom a little bit, so I'm going to embarrass her. But she lives down in Doylestown in Ohio. After my dad died, God threw her to her new place to live. And she looked around and saw neighbors that needed Jesus. And now she has a Bible study there. Is maybe God calling you to do that? You have a bunch of inquisitive neighbors, but do all your neighbors go there, Mom? No, just a handful, right? What's that? About 12 right now, so that's pretty cool. So you never know. Do they ever make fun of you or anything? Yeah, some of the neighbors do, but you know what? Is it worth it to have people follow Jesus, to have some people make fun of you? Yeah, right? I think so. So that's one group, people that really want to know, they're interested. Maybe there's people that are around you that you're just seeing them as the annoying neighbor. Or maybe the gloomy, crotchety old man or old woman that lives next door that yells at your kids. You ever think, why are they crotchety? How does Jesus see them? Start a conversation with them. You never know. You never know. Just share God's love with them. People at work, right? Think about, are there people that are inquisitive at work? Are they asking about your faith? Do they know you have a faith? I just want to challenge you to open your eyes, look around. There, you guarantee you'll see people that are harassed and helpless. Look at what else he did. There's another group. I'm going to go out of order here. I'm sorry. But he says, healing every disease and sickness. So there are going to be needy people, and I'm not going to say you go around and you hit people in the forehead and yell, healed, and stuff like that. But you know what you can do? Like, there's people that have lost loved ones. There's people that are sick or know somebody that's dying. Can we go and say, okay, I'm going to heal you or I'm going to fix you? You know what you can do? Is say, I know the person who can fix that. You want to talk to him? Let's pray, right? Do you mind if I pray for you? Do you know how powerful that is? Somebody comes up to you and says, my mom is so sick right now and I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'll pray for you. You may even say, I'll pray for you. But can you imagine if you said, would you mind? And that's what I usually say. Would you mind if I prayed for you? And a lot of people say, no, not at all. And you just pray for them. And what do you think would happen if Jesus answered that prayer? Does anybody believe Jesus can heal? Absolutely. He can heal physically. He can heal emotionally. He can heal spiritually. Can you imagine what would happen to that person if the healing came? I bet you there'd be a follower of Jesus there, don't you? But have you looked around and seen hurting people and asked that simple question? Would you mind if I prayed with you today? So look around. You may see people that are hungry to know about Jesus. A lot of people probably aren't. You may see people that are hurting, that have issues in their life, and they may tell you about it. Offer to pray with them. Watch Jesus work. And I have a friend that always used to say, pray the gospel with people. Just say something like this: Jesus, I'm so glad for this person. I'm so glad you died on the cross for them. I'm so glad that you're willing to forgive them and that you want to be their savior and walk with them. You know what you just did there is you prayed for them and you shared the gospel with them. Isn't that pretty easy? Why don't you try it sometime? It's kind of cool. But then you've got people that just don't care, and a lot of people fall in this category because not everybody's coming up to you saying, I want to know what you know. It doesn't happen very often. Or not everybody's like, please help me, because you're like, okay. But most people are just going through life. And this is what I would encourage you to do here, proclaiming the good news, and I want you to see that, of the kingdom. Proclaim the good news of the kingdom. It's very simple, right? Having a conversation at work. oh, it's just so frustrating. Like, look at what's going on in politics, fill in the blank, whatever. I just can't wait till Jesus is king and he's going to make it all better. It's going to be perfect. No more crying, no more tears, no more war, no more, you know. People going to look at you like you're crazy? Absolutely. Are you going to get made fun of? Absolutely. Are you going to get made fun of to your face? Maybe. Are you going to get made fun of behind your back? Yes. Are you going to get excluded from things? Yes. But what about when something does happen and this person is finally helpless and just saying, I give up? Who do you think that they might turn to? And I've had this experience in my life too, where the weird guy that talked about Jesus, they came and said, what should I do? And they come to you. I guarantee you that will happen, that most of the people will probably make fun of you or laugh behind your back, but you may have one or two people that come up and say, what now? What do I do? I'm ready to give. I'm ready to do anything. I'm ready to try anything. Well, let me tell you more about Jesus. Talk about the kingdom. Talk about what you're excited about the kingdom, but also talk about the king. I'm walking with the king. Last week, anybody watch that royal wedding? Anybody there watching them on the at the street, right? Watching them go by on the carriage. So there's people that are, I was on my mommy's shoulders when Prince Harry, I forgot his name for there for a second, and Meghan came by. I was so excited. Well, you can tell them, the king of the universe lives inside me, and he walks with me every step of the way. You want people to think you're weird? Go and tell them that. But until they want the king of the universe to walk with them every day, right? So this is part of it. Do you see, when you look out and see people, do you get annoyed? Do you get frustrated? Do you get angry? Because I do. I do. Every day, we need to go to Jesus and say, help me see people the way that you see them. And are you willing to give up your pride, your reputation of being some cool person or whatever it is, to be mocked and ridiculed and laughed at, so that maybe one of your coworkers or two of your neighbors or that person that you see at the gym or the person that you go see every day when you go to whatever restaurant or when you're riding on the bus or the neighbors above you in your apartment, they're always stomping on the floor or whatever, when you look around, are you going to be Jesus to them? Will they hear about Jesus from anybody else? Were you sent to work where you are, to live where you are, the bus line that you ride, because Jesus wants workers there? Ask Jesus every day to help put my pride aside and see people how Jesus does. Proclaim the good news of the kingdom to people. Look like a weirdo, that's all right. Teach them about Jesus. Pray for them to the healer of all our disease and sicknesses. And start seeing what happens. Because we are a church that God is going to send out after this to very many places where Jesus is not known. Will you make Jesus known? Will you make Jesus known? We got to get our eyes checked. We got to see people the right way and respond the way that Jesus did. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. You could look so easily on us and say, I can't stand these people. They're horrible. I don't want anything to do with them. But you sent your son, and Jesus, you left heaven willingly to come down and die for us because you want to live every moment of every day by our side and to spend eternity with us. And it is true. You love us. You want us to walk with you. And I pray that you would help me understand that and all my friends here to understand that and to look around and see the pain and love people to Jesus. The unlovely, the annoying, the needy, the mean, Help us love people well so that they will learn to be your followers. But thank you for your love, because we deserve far, far less. Help us. Use us as your workers in your harvest field. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.